You're listening to Team Talk on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Welcome back to Team Talk. He's Sam Hauser. I'm Joe Neal. All right, we're going to continue to talk about the dance and the Lobos' opportunity in the dance on Friday against the Clemson Tigers. John Blau, who covers Clemson men's basketball for the Post and Courier, joins us now from Memphis, Tennessee. How was the travel from South Carolina to Memphis there, John?
It wasn't terrible. Landed, and now the ACC has countersued Clemson. I don't know if your audience knows what that all about.
Yes.
Clemson sued the ACC, so I got a whole lot going on.
I got you. All right. Fun. Well, we'll talk. Let's talk college hoops, all right? So, we're trying to figure out. We're out in the Southwest here, John. A lot of people don't know we're in the United States. So, we're just trying to figure out some things about Clemson. And I look at this start that they had, an 11-1 start before they go 10-10 the remaining portion of the season. All right. So, a lot of people say, well, they're 10-10. Because they're in the ACC and the ACC does. But the non-conference schedule that Clemson played was completely competitive, and we saw the 11-1. We see the 10-10. Give us some perspective on that.
Yeah, I mean, they played a really good non-conference schedule. It's why their net is where it is. I mean, I think they finished in the 30s, but they were in the top 25 most of the year. They beat teams like TCU at a neutral site, Alabama, who's one of the top teams in the SEC, at Alabama. They beat South Carolina, which they didn't know was going to be as great of a win as it's been. That's another number six seed in the NCAA tournament. They beat a lot of really quality opponents.
Boise State, John, too. Don't forget Boise State. They beat them by 17.
Exactly. Yeah, New Mexico, yeah, you guys know all about Boise State. Obviously, you had to beat them to get through to win the conference title. So, they've had a bunch of really impressive wins. Joe Girard came in, hitting a lot of shots. PJ Hall, obviously the big man, played really well at the beginning of the year. He's finally healthy for the first time in forever in his career. The pieces were really meshing. They got to ACC play, though. They just stumbled. I mean, it kind of went off a little bit of a cliff there for a second, 4-6 start in conference. And then in February, they really got hot again. And then in March, obviously, the one and done in the ACC tournament against Boston College. So it's just been a very Jekyll and Hyde type of season for Clemson. They've lost a lot of close games. I mean, they lost a one-point game at Duke. They lost a one-point game to Virginia. They could easily have a much better record than they do, but it's just there's been some inconsistencies in the backcourt in terms of hitting shots. Girard and Chase Hunter at times, and P.J. Hall can get a little too much in love with a three-point shot every now and again, and there's issues there too. So they're a team that when they're on and they're playing together and the backcourt's playing well, they could beat anybody in the country. When some of those things start falling off a little bit, things get a little dicey for them. So that's kind of explains kind of the good and the bad of Clemson's season. They really can at any point in time flick on and flick off.
Yeah, and going into the season, they were expected to be an NCAA tournament team. And if there's a real blemish on their schedule, and it might have been an advantage that they got over a week's worth of rest, but you know these games where they lose at Notre Dame, which had really struggled all year, nothing wrong with losing to Wake Forest, but the way that they lost in the last game they were on the court in that ACC tournament, as you mentioned, against Boston College. Must have looked like a completely different team than at the beginning of the year. And is there anybody is pointing to with regard to that, John?
Yeah, I mean, again, the backcourt, Chase Hunter, one of their best players, their point guard, went 0-10 in that game. You can't have a guy when your best players miss all 10 of his shots and survive from that. And just team-wise, Brad Brunell, the head coach, has said, they don't really play that well when they get behind. And they got behind against Boston College, and they just could not dig out of it. And they start taking some bad shots. They start pressing a little bit. And it was an interesting thing to hear straight from the head coach going into the NCAA tournament, basically critiquing his team. We do not play well when we get behind.
All right.
Well, and so the,
Yeah, no. So we talk about their offense there and games where guys, you know, go 0 for 10. So what do they hang their hat on defensively, John? What can Lobo fans look, for Clemson on defense?
Defensively, that's probably an issue, again, for Clemson. I mean, they've usually been a very elite defensive team under Brad Brunell. It's kind of his staple. But, you know, Joe Girard, not an elite defender. They brought him over from Syracuse. Chase Hunter is a pretty good defender on the perimeter. He's asked, obviously, to play both ends in terms of being the guy who distributes and also the guy who defends, kind of the best perimeter player. But he's had some ups and downs. I would say the key for Clemson defensively is Jack Clark, who's a six-year wing that they got from NC State via LaSalle, 6'10", 210 pounds. I mean, he's the guy you kind of put on the best wing or forward. He's a guy that can lock down somebody if they need it. So if Jack Clark plays a good game on the defensive end, that bodes well for Clemson. It's just about holistically whether they play well defensively and together. So that can be an issue at times. It has been.
We're talking to John Blau here on Team Talk ESPN Radio 101.7. The team covers Clemson men's basketball for the Post and Courier out there in South Carolina. And certainly ACC tournament, whatever the situation is, you always want to put your best foot forward in all these games, John. But did Clemson know that regardless of what happened in the tournament that they were going to be in the NCAA tournament, or was there some sweating it out on Selection Sunday?
I mean, they pretty much knew. I mean, they thought after they beat Pitt at home, they'd be picked for a second time that season, a team that was kind of on the bubble, that they were in. Clemson believed they were. Their net number was way too high. They were in the race for the double bye in the ACC tournament, top four finish. It just felt like all of the signs were pointing towards them being in, even with the Boston College loss. It didn't feel like it was going to knock them off that perch. So, I mean, there was some sweating just because there was a little bit of, PJ Hall described it as PTSD from last year when their bubble burst. You know, there were three of the four regions were revealed, and Clemson wasn't revealed till the fourth. So there was a little bit of that anxiety. But I think just because, again, everything they accomplished in the non-conference season, how high their net ranking was, I think they still felt they were going in. It was just a bad way. Just kind of a bad feeling, kind of bouncing from the ACC tournament like they did, now have to turn around again and play in the big dance.
Certainly know that feeling. We knew the Lobos were in as an automatic qualifier, but one of the last teams announced, we're thinking over here, just get this thing over with. So speaking of these Lobos here, John, whether it's anything you've observed, if you happen to catch the Mountain West Championship game or anything from Coach Brownell, any early observations, just some of the things that have caught their attention, if anything yet, from the Lobos, if it's not too early.
They've been really impressed by the backcourt, just the number of guys that can score. Obviously, Jalen House, I mean, Jamal Mashburn, and some guys that are really talented that they're very much aware of. obviously, Richard Pitino is a guy everybody knows his name just because Rick's his dad. Brad Brownell said he has a lot of respect for what, you know, Coach Pitino has been able to do in New Mexico and kind of the level of ball they play. So, I think the backcourt's the main thing that kind of concerns them in terms of kind of how quickly they can score and light things up and, you know, get things moving. And, I think defensively, obviously, that they're kind of, again, bring up the struggles in terms of sometimes good, sometimes bad with perimeter defense. I think they know they have to really lock in to beat New Mexico and get through the first round.
When you're as low as Clemson is as far as KenPom's tempo ratings, around 260 or so, that can look different ways. It's not always cut and dry as far as what that's going to look like, but is it a case where Clemson wants to limit the number of possessions? Is it something where they just end up playing slower because of other teams? What does that look like when that tempo is where it is for Clemson?
Yeah, I mean, they're not a team that's trying to steal the ball, get up, run a bunch of fast breaks. I mean, they're really setting their offense. They're kind of trying to get the best shot. They're a team that's pretty good at sharing the ball and, again, you know, making the next pass and trying to get the best shot. But yeah, they're not running up and down the court. It's very much centered around getting the ball on the inside, the PJ Hall, Ian Shefflin, trying to get some post touches, get the ball back out to the perimeter for some open shots for Girard and Chase Hunter. But yeah, they're going to run through PJ Hall. I mean, that's their best player. Obviously, he's a big man, so they're not going to, you know, run up and down the court for him. They're going to get him set in the post, and then sometimes he's going to kind of float out to the perimeter and try to hit some three. He's an inside out type of guy as a big. But yeah, they're not really forcing the issue in terms of the fast break, and they're not forcing the issue in terms of the early shots and the shot clock. I mean, they're going to try to get the best one, and obviously they're going to try to bang in the post with PJ Hall and Ian Sheflin as much as they can.
Well, speaking of tempo, and again, we're talking to John Blau from the Post and Courier out in South Carolina, talking Lobos and Clemson Friday, just after 1 o'clock Mountain Time on True TV, by the way. It's that time of year again where you got to dig through your TV guide and find True TV again where that Lobo game is going to be. But certainly, John, somebody that you've seen more than we have talking about the tempo, Virginia. I mean, the numbers show what they do about Virginia's had some blowout losses this year. They've had games where they've struggled to get to 50 points. But even just with everything that we see on paper, I'm just curious. I mean, what was your reaction last night just seeing how that played out against Colorado State in a game that really was never competitive from the opening tip-off?
Yeah, I mean, not that surprised. I mean, obviously, Virginia was in that playing game and on the bubble for a reason. They've had a very up and down season, and they very much struggled to score. I mean, obviously Virginia plays that style where they're not trying to score a whole lot. They're playing defensive ball, but I mean, this is kind of almost to the extreme of what Virginia's been over the last couple of years. I mean, just really not able to score with any level of consistency. So wasn't that surprised. I mean, Colorado State, obviously you guys know a lot about them. Good basketball team. Obviously, New Mexico. I mean, looking at all the talking heads are talking about, you know, the most likely 11 to beat a 6. I think we know that conference is a pretty good conference. So, wasn't all that surprised by it. Virginia hasn't had the best of years, and that's kind of hurt the ACC in general in terms of the amount of respect it gets, just because Virginia, when they're not so good, people don't really think much of the ACC. So I wasn't very surprised. It's kind of been the narrative all year, kind of an understood thing for people that have been covering the conference.
All right, John, when you first came on, you mentioned a lot going on, getting off the plane there in Memphis, and all this stuff is going on between Clemson, the ACC, the other schools, so on and so forth. If you don't mind, you know, bring us up to speed on what the latest in all that is.
I guess, I don't, again, know how much your listeners over there in New Mexico are paying attention, but basically Florida State was the first to sue the SEC, the ACC, trying to get out of the conference. Basically, the ACC has this grant of rights, and, you know, that gives every member's institution's broadcast rights to the ACC for its contract with ESPN, which runs through 2036. So if you're trying to leave the conference, you're basically having to forfeit your rights for the next, you know, dozen years, basically. And so that's, you know, maybe $500 million if you're looking to leave. But for the Florida States of the world, the Clemsons of the world, they see the revenue gap that's happening between the ACC and the Big Ten and the SEC, and they want to get out because they have, you know, great ambitions as football programs do, FSU and Clemson. And so FSU sued in December. Clemson just sued yesterday to try to kind of make the grant of rights with ESPN null and void, trying to argue that, you know, ESPN has the right to rebroadcast our games. When we leave the ACC shouldn't own our rights anymore, and we shouldn't have to pay $140 million penalty. So they sued, and now the ACC is sued back to say that they should have to pay $140 million if they leave, and that they do own their rights. And it's, if anything is true, lawyers are getting paid right now. There are a lot of billable hours going out. A lot of people are making some money.
Yeah, well, things have changed. I still can't get over Maryland not being in the ACC, to be honest with you, and that's been a while. And now we know that Cal and Stanford and SMU are going to the ACC. So, obviously, a lot of changes in college sports. John, thanks so much for filling us in on the Clemson Tigers, and we look forward to, you know, the game on Friday at 1 Mountain Time. Appreciate you, John.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. All right, that's John Blau. He covers the Clemson Tigers. All right, when we come back, it's going to be time for the top five, and it's coming up next. You got in, you got out, who's up, who's down. Sam Hauser will bring that to you next. ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.